The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days late, 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, for they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, so we are in Tuesday of the seventh week in ordinary time. Okay, this is good context for us. We're I personally, anyway, feel like out of the long trek through the Gospel of John, and okay, yeah, ready to go. Okay, good, Mark. But we also land this year two of our 2 year cycle during the week, our weekday masses. We get the letter of St. James, which is really powerful and good letter. Of course, it holds so much of its value, you know, even today without a whole lot of contextualization. So yeah, there's a lot here. I think, you know, my eye is always drawn to this, like the almost the middle of the passage here, the fourth chapter of the letter. James writes adulterers. He calls them adulterers. And you go, is that fair? They're probably not all adulterers, right? It's like this, is that really what's happening? And, there's probably enough of that happening that he can write that in a letter and get away with it, you know? So just in case you had these kind of, this idyllic view of the early church, okay? You know, the leaders are calling members of the church who would be reading the letter adulterers, okay? So this is the kind of, This is the state. Maybe he's trying to dig them out of something. This is the state of affairs. But really, what he wants to get at is the fact that to serve any counterfeit god is an act of spiritual adultery. You know, and what is he saying? He's saying that God is giving you everything, and yet you're not receiving it because you're not asking for it rightly. And to ask for it rightly means to ask for it so that the will of God can be accomplished. So, you know, we all need to pray our way into this. The question of, you know, right after he yells that out, as it were, it's, "Do you not know that to be a lover of the world means enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a lover of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Right? So what is the world offering us? Like them, right? I mean, we're perhaps with a little more bling these days, but it's the same old stuff. It's the same old counterfeit gods, you know, money, popularity, pleasure, comfort, whatever it may be, and yet that is ultimately, if that's what our life is about, then we are also spiritual adulterers. So it's ours to center on God and His purposes. We got to look at this in action in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus on the way, and he's the disciples need a lot of work as it is, right? From age to age, we're in good company, you know. Like we need a lot of work, but we're in good company apparently. So, this is it, right? He gives them this prediction of his death. They have no idea what's going on. It's clear they have no idea what's going on because of the activity that they pursue you know, right after he says it, the Son of Man must suffer, the Son of Man must die. 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. They did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. This is a significant point, right? They're afraid to question him. Why are they afraid to question him? Now, Jesus is a fiery figure. So I don't know, right? If you want to come up with the image of John the Baptist in your head, maybe, or Elijah, right? Any of the prophets. I mean, they thought, the crowds are saying, you know, he's a prophet. And that means he's quite a fiery figure. So it might be for that reason that they're afraid to question him, but it might be something else. You know, I think there's a good chance they don't want to question him because they're not particularly feeling it. You know, it's like I'm getting a sense of what this guy is doing, and I'm not convinced, actually. Like, I'm not convinced that I want to go that way. And so what do they do? The very next scene, they go their way. They go their way, which is ridiculous, of course. But this is it. This is the way that he's... What were you arguing about on the way? You know? They don't want to get into Jesus' stuff. They want to get into their stuff, right? Okay, we don't get it, but we're not going to ask you. But let's talk about this thing. Who's first? You know, who's coming in first here? You know, who's number one? And you can imagine there was great vigor and energy in that discussion. And maybe Jesus' discussion question fell a little flat. He was feeling terribly good about it. And their discussion question was, you know, caught a lot of fire, and they were really interested in it. And Jesus knew that they needed the lesson then and there. So yeah, so you know, who's the greatest? And of course they've missed the whole thing. They missed the whole thing because this is where it's going, right? The cross. This is where it's going. And Jesus is you know, humble servant through and through. And they know this. They must know this. But they want something other than what... They want to become something other than the master. Okay? And this is for us where we need to be. We know who the master is. We know who the Lord is. Do we want to become something other than the master? Want to live out of some other, I don't know, some other script? Want to play some other game? No, we want the master. We want the master. He's the one who's empowering us. He's the one who enables us to live with real God-centeredness. We want to give ourselves totally over to God and His purposes, which means living a life of humility, right? I'm going to find myself before Jesus, yes, as someone who's called by Jesus, but hasn't done anything to merit the call. And then he's going to make of my life what he wants it to be. There's a lot of humility, right, that is required in that whole thing. I've got to give my whole self to him and pour my whole self out in his service. And there's no room in that life for, you know, arguing or discussing, as it were, among themselves on the way, who was the greatest? Who was the greatest? What does that even mean? What does it even mean? And Jesus, as he does so often, right, he turns it all on its head. If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. It's a tough one, though, right? Okay, who wants to be the last of all and the servant of all? Yeah, Shannon. Well, okay, you got it today, okay? God will give us what we want. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. So yeah. Her last name, a good play on Shannon, last name. Okay, good. This is last of all and the servant of all, okay? The last of all and the servant of all. The trouble is, if we want it, then we're, again, in the wrong camp, right? Because the question becomes, why do you want it? I want to be the last of all. But why do you want to be the last of all? Want to be the last of all for Jesus, want to be the last of all, you know, in the way of the world. But we also want to be first of all in the kingdom of God. Yeah, so it's probably better motivation to say, I actually want to be first of all. How do I get to be first of all? I got to be the servant of all. I have to be the servant of all. And then we see it's here. Let me show in the what he does with the child, okay? The child is of no standing, okay? I know that we love our children. There's actually not a lot of love for children in the ancient world, okay? They count as nothing. They can't do anything, right? It's just the nature of the thing. So he takes the child who is a nothing and puts it in front of them and says, basically, this child can do your job. So I don't know why you're getting hyped up on who's the greatest. I could have called anybody. And by the way, this nothing, that child can do exactly what I called you to do anyway. So, and this is then the reward. Right? Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, because it's all about the name of Jesus. And so we have to continue to pray in the name of Jesus and be conformed to the life of Jesus, especially as we see him, the suffering servant, the one who's willing to give his life in service of all. But this is it for us. Yeah, the usefulness of our lives, as it were, is directly correlated to our capacity to turn ourselves over to God and become instruments in his hands. That's the goodness, that's the greatness of our life. Want to be great? Then that's what it is. We give it all over to him. And we have to do that in prayer. And no better prayer than the Our Father. As we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's his kingdom, it's his will. He's called us, he's now equipping us and strengthening us for the task at hand, which is to follow him on the way in humble service.